morning. I'm Tamara Pigott with the Lee County Visitor and Convention Bureau. Commissioner Brian Hammond was unable to join us this morning, so on his behalf, I'd like to thank you for joining our weekly tourism industry call. We have a special guest joining us today for an update on turtle nesting season, which officially began on Monday. Our guest today is Mindy Peterson with Turtle Time. Not only has Mindy spent 20 years with Turtle Time, but she also is a local business owner. So Mindy, in order for us to be able to hear you, you'll have to press star 2.
I'm here.
All right, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Good morning, everyone. My name is Mindy Peterson. I am a state permitted volunteer and unit leader with Turtle Time. I've been working with Turtle Time since 2001, and I monitor the beaches during turtle nesting season, which runs May 1st through October 31st. We actually start monitoring the beaches in mid-April per state regulations, but the season officially starts May 1st. I also do a lot of education for Eve at Turtle Time. So I go to various schools for elementary, middle school, high school programs. I've spoken at different parks and rec facilities throughout the summer or during the regular school year. Just to kind of keep the conservation going and be a big part of that. We've done lots of programs, marine science programs, just to, represent ourselves in the community to make sure that all year long people are learning about turtles and not just during turtle nesting season. So Turtle Time is a nonprofit organization that was established in 1989. It's a Florida state permitted program that we do for monitoring the beaches, for daily patrols during nesting season. We help rescue sick or injured turtles along with the help of FWC, our local law enforcement, anybody who's available. They're transported to rehab facilities. And we also help gather any deceased turtles along the beaches or our waterways, and they are transported usually up to the Florida Wildlife Research Institute near FWC's campuses up in St. Petersburg for it's called a necropsy. Just to get that turtle data, make sure that it wasn't human interaction, such as boats or fishing line, things like that. So we're part of all of that. There's hundreds of volunteers with Turtle Time. A few of us monitor Fort Myers Beach. There's like an 8-10 mile stretch of Fort Myers Beach. We also monitor Bunch Beach, all of Bonita Beach, and Big Hickory Island. So those are our areas that we report daily to the state for the nesting data. And that's pretty much it about all of us. Most everyone is volunteer, and there's a few of us that carry a permit to be able to handle the turtles live, dead, any eggs or things like that you find on the beach. Not all the volunteers are able to do that because they're protected species, and that's pretty much the basis of our program. And then I guess today, I just want to talk a little bit about, your role in how you can help, how you can get the word out to your guests, to, hotelers on the beach, any kind of hospitality industry that is out there serving food, on the beaches, things like that. One of the biggest things that we like to, get the word out is of turning off the lights on the beach. Lights are a huge, huge issue for our sea turtles. And we understand that there has to be exterior lighting. It's completely understandable. But we do hope that people are taking the time, especially after Hurricane Ian, with all the, you know, destruction, and a lot of things have been broken out there and need to be replaced, that people are using the amber or red LED bulbs in appropriate fixtures with the shields to help hide that bulb from the beaches. It's super important because the turtles mistake the regular lighting for the horizon or, say, the moon on the water, and they will turn and go the wrong way. And they end up in the parking lots and swimming pools on Estero Boulevard, and it can be detrimental or deadly to the turtles. It's super important to remind your guests, if you're hotel owners or part of that industry, to close the drapes and blinds after dark. They do compliance out on the beaches late at night. I've been out with Lee County before, riding up and down Fort Myers Beach in the golf carts or the ATVs, and citing, you know, buildings or individual homeowners for repeated light non-compliance issues. It's really important because even those condos way up high that have their lights on, it's a problem for turtles during nesting season. We ask that if people are walking along the beaches, you know, you might want to, I know you guys have possible information cards and things like that for your guests. You know, let them know that it's not safe to use cell phones that are super bright. You can turn them onto a red screen, which is helpful. You can use flashlights with the red light in them. We prefer no flashlights at all. But if you're going to, you know, fishing lanterns, if people are out there fishing at night, they just need to make sure that they don't have any lights out on the beach. Even something as simple as a cell phone can cause a problem. A couple other things, like I mentioned in the hospitality industry or food and things like that, is litter. You know, there's a lot of places that allow you to have a couple drinks on the water or on the beach, excuse me. And there's plastic bags, styrofoam containers, straws. I know they've gotten rid of most of those, or paper now. But just to make sure that people understand, even if they're going to go out there and have a little picnic on the beach any time of day or night, just make sure that they dispose of all of that, pick all of that up before, you know, you get back in for the day or the evening. And then especially any fishing line, be disposed of properly. If they happen to run across a turtle, we ask that you don't use any flash photography. The lights shining in a mother turtle's eyes can cause her to abandon her nest. And it takes them quite a while to dig and prepare for that nest. And then they kind of go into this little trance. And the last thing we want to do is disturb that process. No harassing, no touching, you know, just stay out of the way. Another big thing is beach furniture. The beach furniture is huge. Every morning that I'm out there, I have to flag chairs. You know, we put little signs on the chairs that say, hey, this is against the law. The law is cited on the thing. You got to bring in umbrellas, tents, toys, chairs, any kind of beach furniture, because they can get stuck under the chairs, or caught up, you know, disturbed, you know, things like that. People who also dig large holes to have some fun, make a sandcastle or bury themselves. We just ask that you remind your guests and folks out there just to cover the hole when you're done. Put all the dirt back in the hole, or all the sand back in the hole. It can trap hatchlings. A large turtle can get stuck down in there. A lot of effort for them to climb on the beach. They are sea turtles, not land turtles. So it's very hard for them to go up and down all of that. You know, and I guess that's pretty much, you know, the spiel of all the things that, you know, can be done to help them. You know, if you do find an injured or dead sea turtle, the best thing you can do is call Fish and Wildlife Commission. That's the 888-404-FWCC, because either one of their officers or volunteers like us are on call, and they'll call us, dispatch us to get out there and help or collect the dead turtle, if that may be the case. I guess that's about it. I mean, I know somebody might have questions about the berm project. I'm not sure when that's happening, but I just wanted to touch really quick that it is a super huge asset to our beach, our community, and our environment. At least we at Turtle Time feel that. It's major protection to the upland properties. Right now we have very low beach, it floods. It'll protect the infrastructure that's there. As far as the turtles go, it keeps the turtles from crawling onto the road. They also seek berm for nesting. That's a natural thing that they do. So it will attract them to find the beaches more desirable, because if they keep coming and there's no desirable place for them to nest, as they come year after year, they'll choose not to come back. You know, there's just a few hotels, a few individual homeowners that are choosing not to, you know, do not want the berm, but we're just trying really hard to get the word out there that it's important. If they choose not to have that berm, the water's just going to rush right into their property. It won't be protected. So it's important that they educate themselves about that berm project and just see what the benefits are that way outweigh, you know, the cons of that. So I guess that's it.
All right. Does anybody have a question for Mindy? And if you do, you need to hit star 2 to unmute yourself. And Mindy, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us. I was going to ask you about the berm project. I know that, you know, they were trying, of course, you know, with all their will to try to get it done before turtle nesting season. But, you know, life is full of challenges right now on executing every project, as we all know. So I know they're, you know, they're working feverishly to get it done.
Yeah. Yep, that's true. So if you can, just educate yourselves about it. And, you know, if you have any questions, reach out to us at Turtle Time. You know, contact your local municipalities for more answers, because, you know, we do feel it is very important, not just to the turtles. It is very important to protecting, like I said, the infrastructure and properties and all kinds of things. So,
That beach was significantly eroded, obviously, as a result of Ian, and you know, this is definitely much needed protection for what does remain on Fort Myers Beach, and you know, and not just that, but the asset of the beach itself.
It was very evident on Sunday. I walk on Sundays, and I usually walk from the pier to Bowditch, and the rainstorm was so strong, and the wind was pushing onshore. My husband and I had to sit in our vehicle for at least an hour and a half to wait for the storm to pass, because we're normally out there between 6 and 6:30. We had to wait for that storm to pass. And then once we got out there, it was so evident of how much wind we lost, because the water had pushed all the way up to each property. There was zero sand exposed. We were walking through ankle deep water and had to ditch our efforts for the day, because we couldn't have seen a turtle crawl if we wanted to. It was completely covered by water. So it was,
that's incredible. I mean, you know, I think we, you know, the power of a storm, you know, and I think we all had a little bit of PTSD on Sunday when it started blowing, and, you know, I think we're going to have that for a little bit, to be honest. Thank you again, Mindy. We appreciate you joining us. It doesn't look like there are any questions, so I will move on to the VCB report. But thanks so much for joining us, Mindy. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Did you want me to stay on, or are you guys good to go?
I think we're good to go. I think if they had a question, they would have asked. And if not, I will. If anyone has one, I'll try to connect them with you and Eve so that they can ask maybe in an email. Okay.
All right. Perfect. Thank you so much for inviting me. And it was our pleasure. We appreciate it.
We appreciate you and everything you do for us. Have a great day.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye. Star indicates that hotel occupancy for the week of April 23rd through 29th was 76.2%. The ADR was 164.76 for a RevPAR of 125.59. Fiscal year to date, the sales team has sourced 481 RFPs to our hotel partners. And those RFPs have resulted in 80 meetings booked. Have a couple of reminders for you. We've asked you to weigh in about these calls. We sent you an email on Tuesday, I believe, with a link to a poll with a couple of questions in it. Well, one question, and then if you, depending on how you answer that question, two more. But we want to know if we should continue to hold these calls, and if we should, at what cadence? Is weekly too often? Maybe we shift to a monthly schedule with this. And equally important, on what topics would you like for us to secure guest speakers? So please do take a moment to let us know your thoughts. We certainly don't want to do something that's not of value to you, but we want to make sure what we do has great value if we're going to do it. So please let us know what you think. Some of you may be familiar with Resiliently, which is the recovery task force formed by the Board of County Commissioners, and it's being chaired by Commissioner Kevin Ruane. They are currently holding town hall meetings, which are happening throughout the community. They started last week, I believe, and the goal is to get input from citizens in the key areas of focus for the task force. Tonight, they will be at Diamond Head from 6 to 8 p.m., and there are some additional town halls coming up, and I'm just going to read through a few of them. Cape Coral City Hall on May 10th from 6 to 8, Estero Recreation Center May 11th from 6 to 8, they'll be at the Boca Grande Community Center May 17th from 4 to 6, Dunbar High School on May 24th from 6 to 8. And if you cannot make one of these in-person meetings, there will be a virtual town hall on May 16th, and that will also be from 6 to 8 p.m. You can also learn more about the task force and complete a survey designed to identify citizen priorities at www.resiliently.com. And I very much encourage you to participate. I was able to attend the task force meeting on Sanibel Island earlier this week. And, you know, it's a good learning experience. And, you know, the information they're gathering is going to direct the county commission on how to proceed going forward in, you know, a number of key areas. And I think your input is very important. There are eight key areas they're focusing on: planning and capacity, economic recovery, education and workforce, health and social services, infrastructure, housing, natural resources, and cultural resources. So, you know, I know at least one of those is important to you, and you know, just strongly encourage you to, you know, try to engage. They have a Facebook page. They have a Twitter account and an Instagram account, so you can look for Resiliently in all those social channels as well. And again, once you go to the resiliently.com website, you can link through to those social channels as well. That is all I have for you this morning, so I will open it up and allow anyone who wants to ask a question or share some feedback. Tell us what's going on in your business, whatever it may be. You start to unmute yourself. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you that we are not having a call next week. And of course, the reason we're not having a call next week is because we are going to have our TDC meeting on Thursday morning at 9 a.m. in our offices downtown Fort Myers. In addition, on May 18th, rather than a call, we're going to have a webinar. We have Expedia providing a webinar to you. I think this is a great time to hear from Expedia, given that we're going into summer. And I know, you know, you're going to be looking for some of those short-term bookings. So I think this is a good opportunity for some of our industry partners to work with Expedia. So stay tuned for details on that webinar. We'll get those out there as soon as possible so that you can put that on your calendar. But it will be in this call slot on May 18th at 9 a.m. So put that on your calendar straight away. And We appreciate you joining us this morning, and we will communicate again officially on the 18th of May. Have a great rest of your week.